Thank you for joining me today. This is the Life After 30 podcast, and I am your host, Joey Hernandez. I have been a personal trainer and diet coach for over 30 years. Together each week, we will explore the joys of aging. And yes, I said the joys of aging, because that is truly what it can be. Please join me as we discuss our health, diet, weight loss, fitness, and many other topics as we move through the decades of our lives. We may be getting older, but we ain't going down without a fight. Today is the day! Are you excited? Yay! It's a starting day of our 10-week weight loss diet. Can you feel the excitement? Can you hear the parade in New York City? Okay, well, maybe not that big of a celebration, but in my heart and mind are the explosions of fireworks going on, or else I'm having a stroke. But either way, I am super, 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 super excited. Now, whether or not you are on board with this particular diet, and I certainly hope you are, each and every diet has the same stumbles, the same problems that crop up and confuse and complicate our attempts at weight loss. And in today's podcast, we are going to discuss some of those issues and see if we can't come up with a system of attack to make us ready once those nasty complications begin, before they derail our diet completely. My name is Joey Hernandez, and this is What is Messing Up My Diet? The 74th episode of the Life After 30 podcast. Since today is the official start of the 10-week diet, I told you I was going to give you my own starting numbers so you will have some idea as to the rate of progress that you might expect. The diet that I spoke of in last week's podcast and outlined it in detail posted on the main blog, thehumanconstructionsite.blogspot.com, I used that diet back when I was 19 years old. Back then, shortly after my parents had died, I gained quite a bit of weight. I had always been hovering around 160 pounds all throughout high school. The year after high school, I really began to get into weightlifting, and I was really happy that I put on about 10 pounds of muscle. But because I was on my own, and not really aware of how someone should go about cooking and feeding oneself, I ate a lot of takeout junk food. And I mean a lot of takeout junk food. I was depressed and drinking and eating. In fact, one time when I was at a wedding rehearsal dinner, I offered to give a ride to a girl who didn't have a car. We walked out to my beautiful new 1980 orange burst Firebird, still my favorite car I've ever had. And as I opened the passenger door for her to get in, an avalanche of McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, you name it, came tumbling out of the car because I had piled the empty boxes and bags as high as a passenger would have been sitting. Back then, I didn't care about making any kind of impression, so I just kind of laughed it off. Oops, that's me. And picked everything up from the ground and tossed it into the back seat, building up that growing pile even more. Yeah, I ate a lot of junk food. And I went from 170 pounds up to 230 in a year and a half. It was then that I went to one single Weight Watchers meeting, got a copy of their diet, and took it home and began to tinker with it, making it more balanced and nutritious, with an emphasis on protein for building muscle. Now, this was in the mid-70s, and not all that many guys lifted weights back then. And certainly no women lifted weights. It wasn't until a few years after the famous movie Pumping Iron with Arnold Schwarzenegger that weightlifting began to become mainstream. That diet is still the staple of my diet philosophy, and I've made many adjustments to the diet over the years as my training has changed and as my clients' requirements seem to have stepped up. I stand by its philosophy and results, and it works very well with the adjustments I've made in these 40 years. I'm sorry. What? Did I just say 40 freaking years? Oh my God. It's hard to believe that that much time has passed. But the adjustments I've made in the diet has made it very healthy and doable, and I strongly encourage you to try the diet as outlined in podcast number 73. 40 years! 40 years! Sorry, but that number is freaking me out. I went to bed one beautiful summer night at age 20, and I woke up the next morning and I was 57. Rip Van Winkle should be my nickname. Okay, anyways, enough of that. So my starting weight is 179 pounds, and my starting body fat number is 21.5% on the electrical impedance scale. Now, to look at me, you wouldn't think I had this high of a body fat number, and the reason for that is that I have a lot of visceral fat compared to subcutaneous fat. If you aren't sure what I mean by that, please go back and listen to podcast number 51 called Metabolic Syndrome and podcast number 55 called The Most Dangerous Body Fat. These podcasts discuss this issue in depth and will provide what might be life-saving, if not at least life-altering information that everyone should know about, especially guys over 40 that regularly exercise. These podcasts are still under the podcast previous name, the Human Construction Site Podcasts, so you're going to hear a really weird alien voice intro music. But don't freak out, the information provided is very important. So head on over to those podcast episodes right after you hear me today, and you'll get to hear me ramble on about body fat. So as I continue through these 10 weeks, I'll constantly update you on my loss or gain numbers so you have a comparison. I'm getting married in less than 6 weeks, so I'm going to buckle down and try to drop down to 168 pounds for my wedding. If you have a wedding between now and the conclusion of the 10 weeks, which is the week before Thanksgiving, please join me and together let's be the best we can be in time for our nuptials. And remember, if you're finding and listening to this podcast at a different time of year, you can still lose weight over a 10-week period. Just listen back starting with podcast number 71 and follow along each week and just kind of ignore my mention of the holiday period and that's coming up. Or maybe use the podcast as a way to enjoy the festive holiday time no matter what time of year the calendar says it is. So let's get started talking about what can mess up your diet. Oh, I feel so much better because I just realized it's only 38 years. It's not 40. I still have 2 more years. And when you get to this age, my friends, every year counts. So now, using this podcast is yet another continuation of these diet podcasts that will take us through the 10 weeks, I'm going to try my best to limit the number of times that I talk about that food scale. You know I think you should have it. You know the best way to get through this diet and maximize its potential is to use a food scale. Hey, but I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to twist your arm around your back until you say uncle. Use the quick hand reference guide on the main blog as a guideline if you want to. But to be honest with you, as you know, I'm always going to say to get a food scale for the best results. And don't you just want the best results? Don't you just want this diet, this time, to be the very last weight loss diet you ever have to do? Well, of course you do. We all do. Come on. We are going to learn how not to backslide so we have to lose body fat again and again. We're going to master the principles of maintenance, and we can use those tools, that knowledge, for the rest of our lives. So come on. Get a food scale and do this 100 gazillion percent. Okay, moving on. Now, I have to say that I think the biggest thing that messes up someone's diet is the belief that it's just a short-term, quick weight loss drop. And then the plan is to go back to eating the same foods the same way that you have always done. I know you want me to say that you can do that. Of course you do. I would love, love to hear that myself. But if we keep repeating those same patterns over and over and over again, we're going to get the same results over and over and over again. And that means we're going to be dieting for weight loss over and over and over again. So the diet that I've designed, as outlined in the previous couple of podcasts, is one that's going to set you up with real food, the same kind of food that you will be eating the rest of your life. So we're not veering off and eating special packaged diet foods with the knowledge that we'll be casting them aside and going back to regular eating afterwards. We're going to start by working with the real foods and learning the correct portion sizes and the correct distribution of nutrients. And then as we get to the end of this 10-week period, we're going to be able to increase the food amounts, but keep them within the same context it was in this diet. Yes, of course we're going to be able to eat some of the wonderful things that we have been so strong enough not to eat as we start these 10 weeks. Because we are. We're going to be strong. But fear not, those are definitely coming back into our lives, and it's something that we should definitely look forward to and be excited about. But they're going to come back into our lives in a less important way. We're going to use them as a reward system rather than as a day-to-day eating philosophy. So the first problem that we need to overcome is the belief that this is going to be a short-term period thing. It's not. We are going to eat the healthy proteins, healthy fats, moderate carbohydrates, and vegetables and fruits up the yin-yang for the rest of our lives. The second thing I want to mention as a big risk to the success of your diet is dining out. Now, I know going from now all the way until the end of the diet, which is the first week of Thanksgiving, that's a long time to say don't go out and eat in a restaurant. But you know what? I'm going to say if you want the best results, think about not going out and dining out for this period. And that's because we try our best to eat the healthiest things. We try. I know you try. But the American restaurants, and possibly restaurants in whatever part of the world you are in, don't create their meals based on our dietary needs and restrictions. Portion sizes are often too big. To give a food added taste, the chefs and cooks will use extra fats, extra salt, cream sauces, and other fat-laden or sugar-enhanced things that can really derail our diet. Because if we go out to one of the fast food restaurants, we're going to have temptations to eat the really crappy food. Let's face it, it's temptations. It's there. It smells delicious. We see people eating it. We want it. And even what we consider to be healthy choices based on that restaurant's advertising, we are lulled into a false sense of security. If you're someone that goes to fast food restaurants, next time you are in, ask them for the nutrition facts. Most of the fast food restaurants have them available now. They're tucked down on some shelf way in the back behind some cans because they want to make sure they're out of your vision. But they are there for you if you ask. But most people don't, and they certainly don't want you to ask. But I want you to ask for a listing of the nutrition facts, and on that, look at the healthy choices and the number of calories and the amount of saturated fat and sugars that are in it. You'll be surprised to know that your choice of a particular salad with dressing might be giving you just as many calories as the unnutritious burger and fries. And if you choose to go out to one of the fine restaurants, they especially are going for the best taste in their food offerings, because otherwise, how can they justify charging you $40 for a steak? So therefore, what they do, and this is a secret I recently learned, is they use some extra fats, especially butter. I had always wondered why when I cook steaks at home, they never tasted as good as in a restaurant, even if I was buying a very expensive cut of meat. And it was pointed out to me that they use butter after they broil, charbroil, however they do it, a steak. They'll then put it in butter in a fry pan real quick on either side just to soak that taste in. And it enhances the food and makes it mouth-wateringly delicious. So eating out becomes a no-win situation. You're damned if you do the cheap fast food, and you're damned if you do the expensive foods that are going to have extra fat added. So why not just not go out for these 10 weeks? I know that's asking a lot, but it's just for these 10 weeks. You can go out and eat once this diet is finished, and then if you are eating food that is above the caloric amount that you would normally have been eating, you will be doing it with a smaller stomach, a smaller appetite, and you're going to be so proud of how your body is beginning to look that you are going to have the willpower to pass on large amounts of that food. So definitely consider not eating out so that you can get the best results that you need and so desperately want with this weight loss diet. Another thing that can completely mess up all your work is when you prepare your own food, choosing quality protein, having nice amounts of vegetables on your plate, and that would make me real happy to see those vegetables, all ready to eat the best way you know how, and then you do the same thing that those restaurants do. You then add table salt. You then add gravy or cream sauces on top. You overindulge in margarines and butter onto your vegetables, driving up those calories through the ceiling. Or you create salads that are also very appetizing, but contain ingredients that also will drive up the calories, maybe not enough to offset the nutritional benefits. Salad dressings, croutons, bacon, cheese. All these things are wonderful to add to a salad, and it doesn't negate the nutritional value of the salad. But again, it's just going to drive up the calories to the point where it won't fall within the parameters of a weight loss diet in its calorie content. My mother used to have a famous saying that she said all her life, and I can admit at my age that I really think it summed up my character from the very beginning. She'd say, "Your eyes are bigger than your belly." She'd endlessly say that because I filled my plate, and I mean I filled my plate when I was a kid, and I couldn't eat it all. But over the time, I forced myself, often to the point of feeling ill, but I loved my food. I still do. But this famous saying now means that I can't trust my eyes sometimes, and I think it's an important factor in weight loss dieting. You are going to be hungry at times. It's unavoidable. No matter what diet you hear about that insists you won't ever be hungry, that's a scam, my friends. You have a stretched out stomach that has to shrink, and until it does, you're going to be hungry at times. Often, though, you walk a fine line between truly being hungry and eating out of habit or boredom. We are used to eating in front of the TV, just shoveling food in mindlessly, or before bed. Those are habits, and habits take time to break. Make sure you leave your sixth and final meal, as it's outlined on my diet, to eat at this time that you normally will have food. But because you'll be hungry, don't trust your eyes. This is another reason why measuring, at the very least with a quick hand guide, is a must. You are going to be tempted, very, very, very tempted, to smudge the weight of the food in your favor. Don't let weeks of hard work get destroyed because you got sloppy with portion sizes. You have to learn portion sizes, or quite frankly, you will not have weight loss success. Trust me, I have been doing this for over 30 years. Portion sizes are the big key to weight loss and to keeping it off. And finally, something important that you will encounter as you're hungry and you're on a diet. You can't go thinking in terms of, quote, one deviation, unquote, from your diet won't make a difference. Oh, I'll just have this one thing. I'll be good in all other areas. I can do this. No, I wouldn't really suggest that you do that. We have a finite weight loss period, 10 weeks only. And if it is one thing only, usually historically it escalates to having more than one thing. But for the sake of argument, let's just say it's only one thing only. My experience has shown that no, you won't gain any weight from this one single item, but you will potentially put the brakes on any weight loss for that week. Just one meal of high calories can mean you stay right at the same weight for that week. Now, this is what you will do when on maintenance, but not in the body fat reduction period. You don't have that luxury. You don't have enough time. You can't afford to have 1 week where you don't lose weight. So yes, that one single thing can mess up your weight loss for the entire week. So really think about it. Stop yourself and weigh the options. I said weigh, weight loss, weigh the options, weigh, get it? Okay, never mind. But think about whether that moment of taste, that fleeting taste that you will have, not even for more than a minute or two, is worth 7 days of hard work. They say nothing tastes as good as being fit feels, and I have to agree. So for some of you, you are off and running with the diet. For those of you who haven't started yet, take a day or two to stock up on the food and dive right in. Even if you are finding this podcast partway through the 10 weeks, you can still at any point join us. For some, the weight loss diet will go on beyond that finite period if you have more weight to lose than is possible in 10 weeks. For some, you may get to your desired weight faster than the 10 weeks. Towards the end, I will be doing a podcast that specifically talks about the maintenance and how important it is to learn some basic rules to make sure that your weight stays off, this time permanently. I've shared with you that when I very first started the creation of the weight loss diet, I myself lost 83 pounds in just under 5 months. But it was not really a healthy weight loss. But I was 19 years old and had an active lifestyle and hadn't been overweight for a very long period, so it was fairly easy for me to lose weight quickly. Now, I would not, under any circumstances, want you to do it to that severity, but I mention it to illustrate that this diet does work. And I have kept my weight within 20 pounds or so all these years. When I was lifting heavier, my body weight did go up because of muscle weight, and I never had more than 20 pounds of extra body fat on me. Now I have the visceral fat, and because I want a six-pack again, at my age, trust me, that is a mega big undertaking, but I'm going to do it, and I'm allowing my weight to go down below the normal standard for someone of my age, height, and sex. So don't be closed-minded. Don't find the weighing of the food to be too much of a burden. We're talking about your life here. We're talking about your long-term health. The beauty of the human body is that for the majority of people, you will lose weight faster than it took to gain it. And that is a gift from our bodies. Let's return the favor and be really good to our bodies with the correct amount of food and an increase in nutrition. This has been the 74th episode of the Life After 30 podcast. Please join me weekly by subscribing to the podcast. You can hit subscribe on iTunes or from the blog that hosts the podcast, there's an explanation at the top of how to go about subscribing through the blog. Please join me each week, and by subscribing, you'll be notified whenever there is new content. Meanwhile, buckle down and give all your energy to this short-term 10-week goal. My disclaimer follows as usual, and if you have not had a chance to listen to it, please do so. It talks about important information regarding your health. Meanwhile, my best to you. Diet, diet, diet. And I shall catch you next week. Bye, folks. Hey, folks, Joey Hernandez here of the Human Construction Site podcast, and this is a pre-recorded disclaimer that I'm going to insert into each episode of the podcast. So please give me just a moment of your listening time and listen to this disclaimer. First of all, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the Human Construction Site podcast. I hope that the information that you receive from the podcast is unique and useful to you in your quest to live a healthier and more vibrant life. I have been a personal trainer for over 30 years. This podcast and the Human Construction Site blog that it is tied to are based on my opinions and my experience working with clients all these years. I am not a doctor. I ask that any and all information that you receive from me, as well as anywhere else on the internet or on TV or on websites, books, wherever the source, that you discuss that and review it with your personal physician before implementing any kind of lifestyle changes. Your doctor knows you best. He or she knows your personal medical history, knows your medications, your family's history, and together you with your physician should have a dialogue to ensure that any changes are right for you. So please, 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 please consult your doctor. Thank you.